Great to see you. Thank you. And thanks, of course, to Summer and Sarah and Lainey. I'm Esty Dinor. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Supported. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded with
information that would never be reported. Disregard the main. You're listening to WORT Madison. We come and listen and supported. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. Oh, I feel nice, a sugar and spice. I feel nice, a sugar and spice. So nice, so nice, I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us is always the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Hey.
Hi, how you doing?
Shut up. Daddy's talking.
Shut up.
I hope little X Musk grows up and renames himself Go to Hell Daddy Musk. That would be a good name, too. All hyphens in there. You know.
I hate my dad.
I hate Musk. My dad Musk. Yeah, right, exactly. So we found out this week who the, we kind of suspected.
What's that?
Who the real ruler is here.
Behind Darth Vader.
Yeah. I was very, you know, when I saw those movies as a young man, I was very upset when I found out that Darth Vader was just like the regional manager of evil, you know? I mean, I thought, come on. Yeah, I thought you were bigger than that.
Your performance review's coming up. Yeah. Here.
I'm not happy.
Blow up a couple more planets, Darth.
Yeah, right. That's right. Who knew that under that big metal mask he had like one of those little assistant manager mustaches?
Yeah. And a short sleeve shirt with a tie. Yeah. Well, that's why Chad Vader was so funny.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that was a good take on it. So do you watch those things when they have those little clips of Trump and
I don't
and
really watch.
Watch do you watch the clown in action?
I can't stand to hear him talk, and so
that's a good point. Yeah, yes. It is annoying.
It does kind of put me in a catatonic state.
I've noticed that he's gone back to his clown makeup. I think somebody who was helping him during the campaign must have said, you know, lay off of the bright orange, you know, because Oompa Loompas are not in fashion this
but
year.
But it's not like him to listen to people.
No, no.
So
but
I think
he did want to win and not go to jail.
Well,
so,
yeah, but he was motivated. I think they just hid it from him.
That's a possibility. Or else they gave him a lighter color and he didn't notice.
Yeah, you know, no, something. I think they hid it, like they put it with the celery or something, where someplace he never look.
Never see it. Yeah, but he's getting oranger. I think, too, we saw this week. I mean, at least I hope it's even some of the people that, for some unknown reason, thought he was going to be the great savior, that they see what the real deal is. You know, this is the real deal. There's this guy who's used Trump. Like, Trump cons, it's like a pyramid scheme of conning, you know? It's like Trump con these folks down here.
Russian nesting dolls.
Yeah, exactly. As it were, yes. And then there's the guy that conned Trump, you know? I'll give you a few hundred million, you know, and I'll just be your buddy.
And then I'll get $10 billion from the
treasury. Yeah, and before you know it, he's gluing him to the chair behind the Resolute desk while he dances around in the office.
Having his three-year-old taunt him.
Yeah, taunt him, exactly.
The kid put a booger on the desk, too.
Believe me, that's not the first one. Warren G. Harding. It was terrible for that. Look it up, kids. You know, it's in the history books. I don't know. It was like a what's that horrible movie that Tarantino did where they were torturing the guy in the chair?
Oh, Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, well, yeah, among others. Yeah, but yeah, I was just kind of like, yeah, he was just sitting there. He really didn't know how to react with the tiny human.
He doesn't know
either.
He wouldn't know how to react to it like a small child or an animal, like a puppy or a kitten or something.
Sure,
he's just totally befuddled.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that thing? What's it
get
worth?
Get it off me, get it off me.
Can we coat it in gold or something?
Yeah. By the way, the new Mel and Floyd meme coin is up. I don't know if I told you about that.
Oh, it just crashed.
Yeah, well, all right.
But we'll put up another one. Yeah, we'll put up the Floyd coin.
Well, you know, the Floyd coin, that's great.
So this comes from Reddit, so take it with a grain of salt.
All right, I'm getting my giant grain out.
But I've seen I've been following some of the federal workers posting things on there.
Yeah, don't do that. And you got in trouble the last time you followed them.
Well, just I don't go to their house anymore.
Oh, okay, anymore since the restraining order.
I stay that 100 yards away.
That's the kind of guy you are.
One time I got invited to a reunion of a newspaper I used to work at.
Sure.
And then I wrote back and they said it was going to be like in St. Paul or someplace.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I said, I'm just asking, it's not within 200 yards of a school, is it? Because I hadn't seen these people in like 20 years.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy.
But no, there were a lot of people posting, a lot of federal workers saying that, you know, a lot of them have work phones.
Okay.
Work phones. And they said the work phones usually just use them from work. They wouldn't get any other garbage or anything. But in the last couple weeks, they've been getting all kinds of spam. They've been getting spam phone calls and spam texts.
That doesn't surprise me a bit.
And phishing attempts.
Yep.
So somebody immediately took that information and sold it, or probably sold it.
Well, when Elon looks out at the human race, he just sees giant sacks of money.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's just like,
sheep.
That's the way. Yeah, it's like he's got a special, you know, monetized vision. He just looks at him and they just immediately turn into money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. And that's, you know, the courts have already spoken on this.
That's just a tiny, tiny little sliver. Yeah. I mean, that isn't really that valuable information, valuable of information. I mean, it's, you know, phone numbers that are active, but, you know, think of them having access to all the treasury information. I mean,
sure. That's the idea. How many regulatory agencies that were looking into crazy stuff that that Elon was doing are the actual targets of these things?
Yeah, if you line those up, that lines up pretty well, pretty closely.
Including the FAA, I think, is one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So. I mean, all those exploding rockets of his, you know. we'll get that on the 120th try. Well,
he also wants to fly his private jet around without, like, anybody knowing about it. Because, I mean, there's things you have to do with the FAA to log flight logs and things like that.
Well, when you're trying to start a Nazi revolution in Germany, you got to have a little leeway. I mean, come on. They're talking about him right now, too, in Germany. Yeah. I mean, this is...
Well, he's endorsing the neo-Nazis there.
Right, the next generation of Nazis. Nazis 2.0 or whatever.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned last week, the sales, correlatively, the sales of his automobiles in Germany is plummeting.
They're calling them the swastika cars.
They are not.
Yes.
Are they really?
Well, I mean, the people are derisively. No, I didn't make that up.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
I wish I had.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I was like, that sounds like a Melism to me. I don't know. So the Germans are funnier than I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was just oom-pa-pa and, you know, schnitzel or something.
There was also an announcement from the Department of Defense this week. There was going to be
now Department of Offense.
No, it's still the Peace Department. I think is what they'll change the name to.
Okay, good.
But no, there's a new contract for $400 million for armored Teslas.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they already armored.
Well, they're tent.
Those truck things look hideous. They already look
the dumpsters.
Post apocalyptic.
Yeah. So that came out like Wednesday or something. And then Thursday, the Department of Defense corrected that, and they said this is for armored electric vehicles, armored EVs.
Yeah.
They took the word Tesla out of their release.
Somebody in PR is now in the basement of the Pentagon.
Hanging by their nipples.
Electrodes. We won't go into the details about which parts are being hooked up. By the way, the world's dictators are cheering right now. Good job, President Trump, traitor and oath breaker. When he froze foreign assistance for that little period there for 90 days, he argued that he needed a drastic step because of all the woke is, it's coming up. It's up to my knees now. The woke is all over the place. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. You made a sign, which I will not repeat on the air. They're saying that the suspension has huge consequences because authoritarian strongmen, other, I should say, authoritarian strongmen, are, you know, basically sort of put at bay by the kindness and the support that we provide for people around the world. So you won't be surprised to hear that they're dancing in China and Russia and Iran and all these places when they see, of course, President Trump just basically taking a big gun and shooting us all right in the head. So,
yeah. Well, that's been a talking point for decades about, this foreign aid. It's like it's, you know, just wasted money and they're just throwing it around and, you know, buying all these condoms for Gaza or whatever. And it turns out that it wasn't, that was a total lie. But there are programs where they provide condoms because it's HIV prevention.
HIV, and it doesn't look like we have enough people in the world. There are a few species that would say they could.
But I mean,
yes.
but the right has always demonized this foreign aid, and when they do surveys, they'll ask people what percentage of the federal budget
40%
do you think is foreign aid? Yeah. And then they always say like 40% or 50%. It's like what, 0.5% maybe? Yeah, I don't know. 1%. I don't know.
Well, of course, and all the people right now are calling their angry people are calling their congresspersons right now. Members of Congress have been having lots of problems right now because interns and aides can't answer their phones quickly enough. A system that usually handles a few dozen calls per minute, which they have up there on the Capitol Hill, is straining to keep up with more than 1,500 per minute.
Oh, very good.
And the reason why is because people are pig-biting mad, outrage about Trump's various moves, especially with respect to basic services that people, rely on as part of the contract, you know, between our federal government and the citizens of this country. Senators were informed last week that the Senate phone system was receiving 1,600 calls per minute. Normally, it receives about 40 calls per minute, and they're just overwhelmed. And, of course, the biggest part of this is people in those red states that just loved the leader, of course, there's tons of things that the Biden administration, playing fair, seeing where you need to do economic development, have put money into things that he's now going to pull the plug on.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, well, we want to get rid of this stuff, but, you know, not us, because we're the good people. The bad people, the people that don't deserve it, those are the ones that we need to, you know, all the woke people, which, of course, means people that aren't my race. That's
get
basically.
Get the swatch from Menards.
Ecru.
Here, let me show you what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. These people get the money.
I didn't bring the story in, but there was something about, in Alabama, there's some program to... The energy prices have gone crazy there. Their grid is all screwed up, like a lot of places. They must have tried to privatize it or something.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But there was a program that the Biden administration came up with that would pay people like $100 a month if their bills went up a certain threshold, you know, and for lower income people. And that's gone now.
Yeah.
And these people are like stunned that they're going to have to actually pay their electric bill.
Yeah.
And
guess what? When he talks about getting rid of Obamacare, he means your insurance.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, duh. Yeah.
20 million people got insurance from Obamacare that didn't have it before. I know Obamacare is, you know, certainly not perfect, but it's not what we were looking for. But it helped 20 million people.
Yeah. It's harm mitigation. Who can be against that?
Yeah, and if you want to get rid, and plus it's more efficient. It keeps people out of the ERs and urgent care centers and helps people do preventative care.
I really do think that RFK Jr. is going to be the first to fall. Because the first time he says, I think people should eat better. or there's a food desert in this town or something. I mean, because he does have this interesting mixture of crazy and not so crazy views.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing that's going to be funny about it is it's going to be the not so crazy views that's going to get him into trouble. The vaccine thing, they all love that. But he's going
to
be like.
Well, but he also wants to stop vaccine research for like 8 years or something.
Yeah.
And I think if he actually is successful at that, then Pfizer's going to throw him a big party at the Ambassador Hotel.
Are we talking defenestration? Or?
Look it up, kiddies.
Indeed. So again, some of the things that Elon Musk, sometimes called the world's richest man. You know, he's not just Richie Rich Rich. He's Scrooge McDuck Rich. And he's been given enormous power, of course, by the president, a private citizen. And at least 11 federal agencies that have been affected by his various moves at supposed cost-cutting have more than, at present, 32 continuing investigations, pending complaints, or enforcement actions into Mr. Musk's six companies. Mm. So inquiries with, as I mentioned earlier, the Federal Aviation Administration. There are fines of Mr. Musk's rocket company, SpaceX, for violations. Securities and Exchange Commission has a lawsuit pressing him to pay the federal government about $150 million because of violating federal securities law. And the National Labor Relations Board is on his butt. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is after him. All the places that he somehow mysteriously has picked.
He's found a lot of fraud there.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah.
His. So let's get real, kiddies. This is what's going on. This is the real deal. Forget. I mean, I don't want to say forget the federal workers. I was about to say that. Don't forget them. But I'm just saying the all these things that are going on, all these things that are, you know, goofy and Trump again being the huckster, the showman, the carnival clown. This is what's really going on.
Yeah.
And it's not Musk is doing this for his own advantage, but it's the billionaire class. It's the billionaire folks. It's the revival of feudalism. You know, those who have power get to keep it. Those who have money need to get more.
Yeah. An old, I think it was an old tweet surfaced. Maybe it was new, but I think it was old from Musk calling poor people and people with disabilities parasites. And you know, as you know, that's the language of the Holocaust.
Yeah, of course.
And so that's how he, at least he views people without any money or without a lot of money.
He's the parasite.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, it's like
he gets hundreds of millions of dollars from the government.
And they're
going to
get more because this whole
get more.
A lot of this whole thing is just so they can make the way for the giant tax cut. You
yeah.
know? So we can basically,
right.
you know, lower our revenue intake for people who could own a country if they wanted to. Oh, wait, they already do.
Yeah. Well, somebody in Congress introduced a proposal to cut Medicaid,
yeah.
Like 40% or something.
Yeah.
I mean, again, those are Medicaid goes to people who are who don't have a lot of money.
Right.
Or who have other issues. And
I think a better way to think about it is they don't have the money relative to how much healthcare costs in this crazy mixed up system we have. You know, I mean, maybe at one time the country doctor could, you know, take a skunk or something and, you know, that's your payment, whatever. But now, I mean, it's like, how can you?
Why would you want a skunk?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a country doctor.
No. Dr. Skunky.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of it too. I mean, you know, have you ever been at like a pedestrian at a stoplight and there's no cars coming, but the signs says don't walk, and so people are standing there, and then finally somebody looks around and sees there's not a car in sight, and they start walking, and then all of a sudden everybody else starts walking.
Yes, of course.
That's what's going on here, because I mean, people are getting the green light to be jerks, to be a-holes, and to like. Cut things like crazy. I mean, they never came up with this Medicare 40% cut before. They talked about it, but they never seriously, considered it.
We got the momentum here.
And I mean, we see these ridiculous things like somebody wanting to put Trump on Mount Rushmore. And,
hey, I'd put him on there.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Way up at the top.
Some super glue.
I'll tell you someplace where they do not walk across the street. A couple years ago, a companion and I were in Vienna, Austria, and it was uncomfortable how, like, unable people were to cross the street. I mean, I remember one morning when I was walking someplace, it was like early in the morning, I was walking to a coffee shop or something, came to a crosswalk, and I mean, this happened many times, but this was the most extreme. There were no cars going down that street. I mean, zero. And everybody's just standing there. And I thought, okay, I know if I walk across the street, they're all going to yell dirty American and beat me up. So I better stand here too. But I mean, they're literally, you know, I mean, this is one of those laws. It's, I mean, I think low level. I mean, we all got to follow it basically because it's a flow regulator, right? You don't want people just doing, but I mean, if there's literally zero cars and have been zero cars for like 2 minutes and you're still standing there, that seems OCD to me, you know, but that was Vienna.
Well, the motto of the Musk's army, the half dozen people or whatever.
The Muskrats.
The Muskrats. The big balls and company.
But I'm sure they all have clever names. Yeah, like that. Yeah. That guy's never been laid in his life. You know that,
none
don't
of them
you?
Have.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they give them names like that. But, it's ironic.
But their motto is move fast and break things.
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe is okay if you're designing a video game, you want to get to market fast.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with, you know, things like Social Security payments, Medicare payments for 330 million people. Yeah. No, you don't want to break things. It'd be like if you remodeled a house and you went in and say, well, I wonder if this beam is load-bearing. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Knock it down and see what happens.
Yeah.
And,
move fast and don't break grandma. That's my thing. Yeah. Just like, don't break grandma, okay? That would be a good thing.
I used to work with this programmer who was so annoying because you'd give him a ticket saying this stuff is not working right now.
Yeah.
And he'd go in, and then the next day he'd come back and goes, well, while I was in there, I did this, 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 and this, and this. And it's like, no, that was wrong. Because the programmers don't know the program. You know, like this was unemployment. And they didn't know, this programmer didn't know anything about the unemployment program.
It's all platform, Mel. Content makes no difference.
And that's what's going on now. You have people who don't know a thing about these programs, and they think they know better. And
well, one thing that U.S. cut, I don't know if you saw this, was groups that are looking for bombs in Gaza. You know, like Amy wants to turn it into the Riviera, and yet it turns out that some of the money that was
like
going
landmines
overseas,
and stuff?
Yeah, landmines and things like that. Yeah, unexploded,
ordnance
they call it. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And so they don't. The number of weapons that Israel has used against Gaza is not known. I mean, it's like it was that crazy, right? So they need people to look around. There's probably they guess there's a there. The New York Times did an investigation last December. They guess that Israel launched, fired, or dropped about 30,000 munitions in the territory just in the first 7 weeks of the war, and then more in the course of the next next bit. But things like bombs and rockets, mortars, they have a failure rate, and so they're all like laying around there. And the State Department had an order to go out for people to look. You know, they were hiring people to look for these bombs, bomb disposal experts, and they figure that out of that 30,000 or more, about 10% of the weapons that Israel used failed to explode and are hazardous duds that could be laying there, maybe even for decades.
Yeah.
And yet, the money that was allocated to do that was cut off.
Yeah.
That's the kind of, I'd have no idea what's going on, I'll just break things.
Right, right.
That we're talking about.
Yeah. So, well, they still find unexploded shells from World War I in France every once in a while. I mean, they don't go away. They last forever. I mean,
yeah. So. Wow. Bridget Bardot, she was a bombshell.
So, U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told Fox News that he might unleash artificial intelligence on the IRS to make the agency more efficient.
God, I'm glad I already filed it.
He says, we'll see where that takes us.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's experiment with the
your
IRS.
Your money. Well, that's what they hope for, right? They'll mess it up. A colleague of mine said this to me. She said, I'm purposely going to do my taxes late because I don't think the IRS is going to exist by that time.
The thoughts cross my mind. Yeah. I have to pay in quite a bit this year. And it's like, well, what if I don't pay?
Who's going to notice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Well, that's the other thing. I mean, they're cutting things like, they complain about waste and fraud. They're cutting things like auditors. They're cutting things like,
Well, that's what the inspectors general were in charge of.
Yeah.
You were mentioning this, it was last show or the show before. They bring in lots and lots of money looking out for fraud and waste. So get rid of those guys.
Yeah.
So, of course, the opposite of the AI thing could be, if you don't pay your taxes on time, you could have something at the door going, crush, kill, destroy. I'm just laying it out there. It's possible.
So... Well, I was talking about how this gives the green light to all these people with crazy ideas.
The horror.
Meat industry group asked Trump to deregulate meat packing and factory farms.
Yeah. My God.
Amid the deregulatory blitz.
We discovered a little taintedness is not a problem at all.
Trade group pushes for rollback on environmental regulations, worker protections, and food safety.
Oh, my goodness.
What could go wrong there? So. And again, these are things that really don't cost a lot of money. I mean, they learn how to be more efficient. They learn how to be cleaner and safer.
And
but if you let let, you know, the gravity of capitalism take its place, then humans don't matter in the equation. You know, they lose a couple of fingers, big deal.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're old enough to remember Reagan. I don't know if you remember this or not, but early on in the Reagan administration, this was an interesting thing. A lot of the intense, like, radical free market type people, well, I shouldn't say free markets, they actually believe in monopolies, but those people, they were floating the idea of rescinding the U.S. Department of Agriculture rules about putting ingredients on the side of packages.
Oh, really?
They were like, yeah, well, we'll let the market sort it out. You know, a few people keel over or eat something that makes them unwell. Well, you know, well, they'll learn not buy that in the future. I mean, that was the level of extremity then when everybody was really, you know, feeling it at the beginning.
But I mean, they're very powerful economic factors.
Right.
A lot of research done into in unequal information.
Well, exactly. And that's the thing. What you need, and this is a function that the government has been providing for us all the way back to the 19th century, these people don't even know the history of this, is that they are objective third parties that actually make the information more balanced. Informational asymmetries are a major reason why people won't participate in markets. This has been proved over and over again. And so you have some third party that can provide what's called in economics assurance warrant.
A seal of approval.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what happened in the early 80s is that a lot of the companies that were manufacturing these products said, please don't do that because no one will buy our product. They're not going to be sure what's in there. They're going to be super suspicious.
Well, then they can be undercut by, you know, the company that, you know, laces their stuff with arsenic because it's cheaper or dirt or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. A little dirt never hurt anybody.
Yeah. We used to eat that when we were kids.
Yeah. There was a kid down the block from me that used to eat dirt and
everybody
worms.
Knew a kid who ate dirt.
Andy was his name. Yeah. I remember. And we were like, what is with Andy? Obviously, he was missing some vital nutrient in his diet. Hey, the Pope was in the news this week. He wrote an open letter to the bishops here in the U.S., and he was criticizing President Trump. He said that the mass deportations that the president has been visualizing and that many people apparently are okay with. He says that that is a direct attack on Catholic thinking. So he's urging Catholics to basically, you know, respect the dignity of men and women and families. The Pope said that he had followed closely the major crisis that is taking place in the United States with the initiation of a program of mass deportations. And he said that any policy built on force, and this seems kind of like what a Christian should say, will begin badly and end badly. He's long been an advocate for migrants, and he's made denouncing their plight a big important thing for him. He's called the issue the shipwreck of civilization, and has spoken out repeatedly what he considers unwelcoming and unchristian migration. Of course, today in the United States, there are books like The Sin of Empathy and things like that are out there written by Christian authors. So I'm not sure how much weight the Pope really has on these issues these days.
My Bible fits on a business card. It's just the prosperity gospel.
Yeah, exactly.
A state representative in Utah has introduced a bill that would ban the pride flags in public schools and any government buildings or any government property. You'd have to have approved flags for display only. That'd be U.S. flags, military flags, flags for other countries, flags for Native American tribes, and official flags for colleges and university. The bill also allows for the flying of, quote, historic version of a flag that is temporarily displayed for educational purposes, which the representative said would include the Confederate and the Nazi flags. So in his bill, you could display the Confederate flag, you could display the Nazi flag, but not the Pride flag.
Well, okay, so let me just counter by saying that the Pride image is not a flag, it is a banner.
Well, let him
legally,
know.
Legally, it is not a flag, it is a banner. So I think we're fine on that one.
And the Confederate flag was not their flag.
Well, yeah, indeed. And there's a story behind that. The battle flag, which you saw starting to reemerge in the 1950s, you didn't see that for ages. And then it reemerged in the 1950s, of course, as a symbol of the people
stars and bars
hanging on to segregation. No, that was never the flag of the Confederate States of America. Not once. And they had three flags within the space of 5 years, and they still never had that one. So, or 4 years, but yeah, they never had that one.
Really, has the Confederacy lasted, you know, less time than, like, Seinfeld or something? I mean,
Well, it's like the Nazis having the Thousand-Year Reich, you know? It's like, yeah, not quite.
Came up a little short.
Quite make it, yeah. Like 12 or something.
Yeah, so. Little change of pace here.
Yeah.
Chernobyl nuclear power plant was hit by a Russian drone.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so. The sarcophagus, they call it. I didn't realize they called it that, but. So that can't be good.
Wow.
I read that there's moss growing inside there that, like, feeds on radioactivity.
And your hand, if you're not careful. So.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WRTFM.org. You could be listening in the future because we put this show and all of our shows up on the archives page. And thanks to Mindless Minion D-Cube, you can listen to our podcast of this program. We suggest Apple right now because Spotify is being weird with us.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. I talked to Shali about this the other day. She said she's aware of the issue. She said she'd been trying to contact Spotify and, you know, how that goals when you try to contact a place like that. So, they haven't been posting new ones recently. But she said Apple has them, and there's probably other places too.
Okay. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah. So, and just a reminder, it's the time to vote for the first round of voting for the Best of Madison.
Yeah.
And they have a category for Best Radio Team.
Can't imagine who that would be.
Hint, hint. we finished second last year.
Did we?
Yeah. So we finished third the year before.
Yeah.
Second last year, and I think we got the momentum of a runaway freight train here.
Yeah.
I see where this. You know, I took some math classes. I can extrapolate that.
On the other hand, I will pose Zeno's paradox. We're never gonna make it there.
1.5.
Yeah. Exactly.
I have a friend who lives up in the Twin Cities now, but he used to be a bus driver, and I'd get on his bus, and he'd announce to the bus that, ladies and gentlemen, the slowest rising radio celebrity in Madison has just entered the bus.
That's wonderful.
But they also have categories for Best of Madison for podcasts, which we have those, and local news website, which we have a terrific local news department here.
Yes, I agree.
I think that's it. There's probably one I'm forgetting, but.
Wasn't there volunteer opportunity?
Volunteer opportunity, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
If you're trying to volunteer and you want to be part of the community and do some good work, this is a great place to be.
Yeah, so you can go to Madison Magazine's site, and we're under Arts and Entertainment, the Best Radio Team.
Okay.
So we really would like you to vote for us.
Yeah.
So please, we'll lower the price of eggs. Eggs will be free. Eggs are free with us sometimes because people like throw them at us.
Yeah. And we're really good at catching them.
Yeah. So what we'll do is we'll go around and annoy people.
Yeah.
And they'll throw eggs at us.
Sure.
And then we'll give you the free eggs.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah. We promise.
I got some eggs at the store the other day and they came from Ohio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with their local farms. There must be a lot of problem with it. But, these eggs came from Ohio.
Wow.
I was like, wow. Amish farmers and outside of Columbus or something. I don't know.
This is going to be like the Battlestar Galactica where everything collapses and the only thing that's left are like the things that aren't connected to anything else, you know, or nothing's connected to the internet.
I watched that show and I thought every time they took a sip of whiskey, I thought, you realize that's the last whiskey in the universe, right?
Well, what are you going to do?
I mean, I know. Yeah.
It's the drink.
Yeah, exactly. Are you sponge worthy?
Exactly.
Got to make your choices.
All right, we have to take a break, play some announcements, and we'll be back in a couple minutes with...
a few pieces of happy news.
I have Your Mummy Smells Nice. Come on now, brother.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
Madison Public Theater invites you to their production of Wintertime, opening February 7th and running through February 22nd at the Bartale Theater. This is the perfect romantic comedy for the Valentine season. Jonathan loves Ariel. His mother, Maria, loves Francois. Frank, Maria's husband and Jonathan's father, loves Maria and his lover, Edmund. Bertha and Hilda, outspoken lesbian lovers, join the group, along with the composter guy and Dr. Benoit. Members of this gloriously eccentric family arrive at their summer house in the winter woods for supposedly secret rendezvous, and soon bodies collide, doors slam, dishes fly, and everyone's perfect plans go fantastically awry. Show opens February 7th and runs through February 22nd at the Bartale Theater. Brought to you by Madison Public Theater. More information can be found at bartelltheater.org. Keeping you plugged into the Madison arts community, this is WORT 89.9 FM and WORTFM.org.
Hi, I'm Mel from The Mel and Floyd Show.
And I'm Mr. Smarty Pants.
It's time again to vote for Madison Magazine's Best of Madison poll.
There's a category for Best Radio Team, and it would mean so much to our fragile egos if you could vote for Mel and Floyd.
I mean, we really don't need the validation, but oh God, please vote for us.
Go to the Madison Magazine site, find the Best of Madison Arts and Entertainment section, and then nominate us under Radio Team.
There are also categories for local news website.
Hint, WRT, local news.
Podcasts, and even best volunteer opportunity.
So vote your conscience.
That is, vote for WRT.
Nominations are open through the end of February.
Finalists advance to the next round.
Then Elon Musk's cat puts the results on the blockchain or something.
To recap,
Best in Madison nomination, Mel and Floyd for the Best Radio Team.
Citizen, you know what to do.
This announcement contains no DEI, IUDs, BFFs, BMFs, or pronouns per guidelines of the new Ministry of Truth, plastic straws, and full flow toilets.
Who were those handsome sounding men?
That was Elmer at the end there.
Yeah, Elmer sounded really good.
All right, I've got some breaking news.
Okay.
There was a crime at the Watergate Hotel.
Really?
A break-in.
No.
A data breach.
Ah.
Somebody broke in and they've got sensitive information of individuals stored on their network. And there was a data breach, according to the D.C.'s Watergate Hotel. I thought they turned that into a condo or something. But
we saw it when we were there. We didn't go in, but we went by.
I went inside. I took when Melvina was probably in second grade or something. And,
yeah.
And I dragged her to the Watergate Hotel. It was had a really nice picture of us sitting in front of the sign, and
yeah.
I'd lost that somewhere in
yeah.
my
oh,
various, you know, as I made enemies throughout life. but we went inside and ran around, and it was really fun.
Did you tape over any of the locks?
I should have.
that would be the first thing I'd do.
And Melvina was old enough to understand it. She didn't really know why, but she knew it was bringing me great joy.
Yeah, oh,
and,
that's
and
sweet.
So she was really into it.
Excellent.
We ran around until somebody chased us out. I mean, yeah.
That was when you were having her listen to Marx Brothers on the radio, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure. No, she liked Fibber McGee and Molly.
Did she? Okay.
Yeah,
so. Oh, that shows good taste.
Yeah, so.
You really messed that kid up, didn't you?
Yeah. She liked it more when I explained that, you know, every once in a while Molly would be gone for a while. She'd go like visit her sister in the country.
Sure.
What really was happening is they had to send Molly out to like dry out for a while. No, it's true.
I believe you. I'm just laughing at it.
You know, and back then they didn't really have good treatment. They just sent you to the country.
They just yelled at you a lot. that's the way they did it.
Quit drinking! The Watergate did not respond to requests for clarification. They have health insurance, medical information, so it might have included the hotel employees, too.
All right. So I got a few stories.
I blame Nixon.
Yeah, I miss Nixon. So I got a few stories of people pushing back on the current power grab. Just want to talk a little bit about that real quickly, and then we'll go into some non-political related news. But 14 Democratic state attorneys general just yesterday sued Elon Musk and President Trump for what they called unlawful delegation of executive power because of their basically granting to Mr. Musk and his made-up agency the power to be a, you know, basically a government watchdog over spending. And, of course, there's no oversight here and so on. Mr. Musk's team has inserted itself into at least 19 agencies. 14 states argued that Mr. Trump had violated the appointments clause of the Constitution that he swore, of course, to uphold by granting powers to Mr. Musk, who has, quote, transformed a minor position that was formerly responsible for managing government websites into a designated agent of chaos. Also want to mention that if you haven't seen it already, that the United States District Attorney for the Southern District of New York resigned. She is she's by no means a woke person. She is actually a former law clerk to Justice Clarence. Where's my RV and free trip, Thomas? She was unhappy because just out of the blue, the Deputy Attorney General ordered her to stop the prosecution of the mayor mm-hmm. of New York City. Of course, has been involved in a lot of corruption, and this is obviously a favor that Trump is granting, probably to gain loyalty, and using the justice system in that way may be what he wants to do, but it's not what everybody in the system thinks we should be doing. And this woman, Danielle Sassoon, she resigned as a result. She's only been in her job for just a little bit of time.
I think some other people resigned, too. It's quite a scandal. But it would have been, you know, in the olden days, that would have been a major scandal.
That was just coming thick and fast. Yeah, it's like flack. Yeah. You just got to hunker down. A federal judge ordered the Trump administration to hold off on a plan that would cut $4 billion in federal funding for research. For NIH research at major hospitals, universities, cancer centers, and so on. The order was issued by Judge Angel Kelly, who's for the U.S. District Court in Boston. This was earlier this week. So, you know, the plan was basically to cut off all this research. I don't know why. I guess just to punish. I mean, their biggest thing is, it was kind of like here in Wisconsin with Act 10, is to turn people who aren't doing well in our system against people who are, you know, that are further down from the oligarchs, but still doing well. The middle, we call them the middle class.
Yeah.
The educated middle class, that for most people that don't have much, those are the only elites they ever, quote unquote, elites they ever interact with. So let's screw them over. And of course, in the history of every society, those are the people that have the most power and knowledge to push back when the oligarchs decide to take over. So, you know, as far as I can tell, the only purpose for doing this is just to screw the universities and hospitals over.
Well, again, I mean, that you look in 1930s Germany, that they attack the intellectuals as well as...
Oh, you mean Jew science? Yeah, right.
Jew science.
I mean, that's what they said about Einstein. I mean, they formally said that the two theories of relativity were false because it was Jew science.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the pronouncement of the great minds of Nazi Germany. Yeah. So, you know, doesn't sound familiar at all.
Bring me some more books on the occult.
Exactly. Hey, the Supreme Court, speaking of legal stuff, the Supreme Court is... sort of signaled recently that they do not consider, they're not considering looking at the New York Times versus Sullivan First Amendment decision anytime soon. Both Justice Kavanaugh and the Chief Justice have signaled that as far as they're concerned, they have no interest in opening up this and overruling it. So who knows whether that means anything or not, but it is a little tiny bit of hope. Also,
I didn't know that was even...
Well, people have been talking about trying to challenge it, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can guess who. I mean, you know, again, you know, Master Musk says he wants the, you know, legacy media must die, which means people can't read or hear anything that I don't approve of.
Right.
So the penny thing, I was amused by that, of course. it turns out that they're going to start making... Australia already tried this, but we don't learn from experience when you're in the Trump administration. And, of course, it didn't save any money at all. Not making pennies. Yeah. It turns out you have to make more of the denomination right above because you're just rounding up, so it's not going to really save much money.
Mm.
And but I'm going to start hoarding my pennies. I just want you to know right now. I'm going to just every penny I see is going to be a penny going into the tank. So
have a penny, take a penny.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to take them all.
Thanks. So I read a great story. There's a town in Alabama that it's the place that makes like the blank pennies, like before they're
the slugs.
Printed, the slugs.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're the only place that does it, and it's like the biggest industry in the town. I mean, they're just, you know, a company town,
sure,
essentially. And they were terrified when this came out. They were like, "This is our town," and the politicians were contacting Washington saying, "Oh, like, think of all the jobs you're going to lose," and it's like, you know, the usual.
Yeah,
you know,
who would guess
gore that, somebody else's ox? Yeah.
Who would guess that the face eating party would eat my face? Yes, right.
So, all right, changing the gears a little bit here.
Yep.
I have a story about the Moroccan fly maggot.
My favorite fly maggot.
It's a very good. Speaking of maggots, I guess we're not really changing the subject too much. But so this maggot, I love how clever this maggot is. It's the blowfly larvae.
Yeah.
It grows a fake termite face on its butt to enable them to socially integrate into termite colonies in the mountains of Morocco. So they've evolved to build a fake face on their butt as a disguise to infiltrate termite colonies. I love stuff like this. It's just the weird evolution stuff that things come up with. So,
wow. It's so whimsical sometimes. And I think the thing that gets me is, too, like when you look at patterns like that, they don't just like trying to kind of half try to do it. I mean, it looks real.
Yeah,
it looked like a
termite.
You'd think that it would be, you know, you just kind of go part of the way and that would be good enough, right? But no. You go the whole hog.
It was like when I was at the Shedd Museum one time, there was an exhibit on seahorses.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of weird ones. And there was one that its extremities looked like a green seaweed.
Yeah.
And it was just the oddest looking thing. It really was something out of science fiction. But you know, you could see where that would be useful to kind of blend into the weeds so that the bigger fish don't eat you. But it was just really odd to look at it and see these extremities that look just like weeds.
So we had two callers.
Yes.
Lainey just brought in. One caller said, what was the name of the person who clerked for Antonin Scalia? Was it Antonin Scalia?
No, you said Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, I said Clarence Thomas. Maybe I was wrong. But it was, the person's name was Danielle Sassoon. Maybe I got that wrong. I don't think she's old enough to clerk for Scalia. I could be wrong about that. I thought she clerked for Thomas. At any rate, if you know the answer to that, let us know.
Okay.
I thought that's who it was. At any rate, I didn't have the story in front of me. I just recalled that from memory, so I might have recalled it wrong. Another caller said, and I don't know who this person is, so I can't answer this. Why did Biden, who, pardon the federal judge who put all those kids in jail? And I don't know anything about either of those things, so I'm not sure. I'm unable to answer that caller.
I'm not familiar with that. So.
Yeah, sorry about that. If you got a name or something, we could look it up, but I don't know anything about that. So, sorry about that.
U.S. Representative Anna Luna, Republican from Florida, says she wants...
It's a great name for a Republican representative.
The lunatic. So she wants, speaking of bugs.
Yeah.
She wants Congress to question key investigators of John F. Kennedy's assassination, including physicians who examined him and members of the Warren Commission.
Okay.
There's one tiny flaw.
I assume they're dead.
They're all dead.
Yeah. they got the, you know, this was... Back in the day, all the stuff that Trump does now as an innovation was just the way it worked. like old bald white guys got all the jobs, right?
Right,
so
right.
Those guys are all old, right? They're on that commission. They're all dead now.
Right. So, Gerald Ford was on that commission.
Yeah, Gerald Ford was on that. Yeah, exactly.
You know, again, speaking of Gerald Ford, I read this week that the Packers tried to sign Gerald Ford because he played football at Michigan when he was in college.
He was quite the hunk when he was young.
Yeah, he was.
And there was there's actually a book written about that. Gerald Ford, hunk. I mean, that's not the name of it, but I mean, there's a book.
Oh, really?
Actually, about his being like a sexy footballer when he was young.
Oh,
and
funny.
Stuff.
Yeah, I saw it, they reproduced the letter that the Packers sent to him, trying to recruit him to come play pro football for Green Bay.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I heard that the governor of Illinois is thinking about trying to buy Green Bay. I don't know if you... Governor Pritzker was in the news this week. He gave a faux press conference where he was standing behind his podium and announced that they were changing the name of Lake Michigan to Lake Illinois. and in related news, they were going to be in negotiations to buy Green Bay. And soon there would be some updates on the status of the Mississippi River. So... You know, I did.
To show you how much they're kissing butt.
Yeah.
Google Maps now says that's the Gulf of America.
I couldn't stand to look it up. So what I did was I looked up, I was looking at Google Maps and I typed in, New Orleans and then kind of ooched my map down a bit just to see it because I was not going to type in Gulf of America. I just wasn't going to do it, you know. I mean, it's been named that for like 400 years. You know, it's like,
an executive order has no authority for something like that. Yeah, it's just a kiss up. But I've got some bad news for you. I have something I read this week. I didn't bring the story in, but with the tariffs.
Okay.
With the tariffs going on.
Yeah.
Do you know what country prints most of the comic books we get in the United States?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
What country prints most of the comic books we get in the United States?
Canada.
Canada.
Yeah.
So your comic book prices are going to go through the roof.
No.
Do you buy new ones? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, this is getting personal now. I'm sorry. I mean, first he takes over the Kennedy Center. I mean, and I like pork rinds as much as the next guy.
But, and Lee Greenwood.
And Lee Greenwood. But all the time, 24/7? I mean, come on. And now the comic books? Oh, now this is war. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, plus the aluminum tariffs mean that means beer is going to be more expensive.
Oh, so. I thought you meant my little hat was going to become more expensive.
Your aluminum hat?
My aluminum hat.
Yeah,
my aluminum I don't just go for tinfoil. I'm sorry.
That's good. You got the upgrade.
Yeah, I got the upgrade.
They upsold you on that one.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
But speaking of that, Coca-Cola says, okay, so there's going to be tariffs on aluminum. So how is Coca-Cola going to respond?
Yeah.
They're going to put more Coke in plastic bottles.
Oh, that's great.
So talk about your, I was going to say, unintended consequences.
Every time I see something that's been put into a plastic thing, like you used to be able to go and get applesauce in a glass jar, and then you could recycle it.
Yeah.
And can't do that now because it's all, in plastic.
Remember when yogurt came in, like, kind of waxy?
Oh, yeah, waxy cups. Like, little, almost like a milk carton used to be back in the old days. Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, well, and you always wonder what's residue is ooching into the material that you're eating. That's the other part of it. So we got the caller did a follow-up, and I'm sorry, I don't know what you're referring to, caller. I'm sorry. There was a federal judge, apparently, in Pennsylvania who was taking kickbacks to imprison kids in private prisons. To me, that just sounds like the United States of America, but I'm a little cynical, so yeah. I don't know if that was...
I'm not
sure what the pardon was about or what was going on there. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, caller.
A lot of these pardons are so bogus. I mean, that's,
going back to, I would say, remember just before, I think the process started when the first George Bush left office. Remember that? He pardoned a bunch of people who were involved in Iran-Contra and were possibly involved in the negotiations that took place with the hostage crisis in Iran, so that we would never find out or be prosecuted if we do any discovery on that. And then, of course, Clinton had a whole raft of people that he pardoned. I mean, this is one of those elements.
Rich sleazy guys.
Yeah, rich sleazy guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that he probably met on some yacht somewhere or something.
Or on a plane to an island, maybe.
Maybe. But I mean, this abuse of this power, has been expanding ever since, I would say, since that time.
No, it's...
And it's weird because it's something they just threw in there Other states' governors have pardon powers, but they have consulting groups. You know, this I was thinking about this with respect to Trump. You know, in traditional monarchies, you know, there was never the case that the guy that was the monarch just made a decision. I mean, they always had a council or something like that.
Right.
And the whole idea was that if you were a wise Christian monarch, you consulted a bunch of different people before you made a decision. And in fact, like in France, like pre-revolutionary France, when they had a monarchy with no parliament, it still was always decisions were always the king and council.
Mm-hmm.
You never just like had some guy that just made up something. Yeah. And just
we're wearing our underwear outside our
Exactly.
Pants now.
Yeah, exactly. There's always some kind of standard in terms of rational deliberation and a reason for the thing.
Yeah.
You know? And these pardons are like that. It's like it's pure whim. And so because it's pure whim and it doesn't need to be justified in any way, it's ripe for abuse.
There were several of the January 6th people who got pardoned who immediately got in trouble with the law for various things.
Sure.
So, I mean, all right, I teased this earlier. It's about mummies. Research discovers that ancient Egyptian mummies smell nice. They still remain. They still keep smelling this. At first whiff, it sounds repulsive, according to this article. But researchers who've indulged their curiosity in the name of science—that's
the kind of a curiosity that makes you a scientist.
They found that well-preserved Egyptian mummies actually smell pretty nice.
I wonder how mummies smell.
Can I be alone with the mummy for like 10 minutes?
They smell so nice.
They smell spicy and sweet and woody.
Yep.
Those are the leading descriptions of what sounded more like a wine tasting.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, they took all the viscera out. That was the whole idea.
Yeah.
There were not rotting things in there. And it's
whatever happened to our container with
our canopic vessel?
Yeah.
Where do I have that? I must have that around somewhere.
We should put our guts in there. Or
for
safekeeping. But anyway, so mummies smell kind of nice and spicy.
They're fragrant.
Yeah. It was an important part of the mummification process. These oils, waxes, and balms. Yeah.
The most important thing was they took the brain out.
Yeah.
They didn't think the brain was really interesting. They thought it was just the big snot maker, basically. It's like, all this snot coming from? Well, there's this pointless thing in people's heads. That's probably it. By the way, I was doing the New York Times crossword puzzle today, and there was an Egyptian reference in there.
Really?
The question is, or the clue is, where the ka and ba reunite. It's the afterlife.
Oh, okay.
The ka is your soul.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess not the... So I sent this to you earlier this week, but the New York Times Sunday had a cute thing. The clue was the best of the sci-fi franchises.
Yeah, yeah.
And whether you put in Star Trek or Star Wars, it's Star. They gave you a star.
Yeah.
So if you put in Trek or Wars,
it would work.
It would work either way. So I thought that was very cute.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, I did consult with Companion on this because, of course, he thinks the greatest franchise was Babylon 5.
Yeah.
That will not work. So. When Companion and I first knew each other, I actually enjoyed it, but I had never watched, and I had to watch the entire oeuvre of Babylon 5. That was the initiation ceremony, basically.
Yeah. So that was the test.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. I mean, you know, the whole story behind that was that when they did the one of the Star Trek versions, which was called Deep Space Nine, that actually they stole the idea from the guy that made Babylon 5, came up with Babylon 5.
I've tried to watch it. It's pretty 80s, so it's a little, I have to get over that.
And, I mean, the budget they had for the special effects was not very good.
No, they've got like a puppet or something.
Yeah,
or something.
But the concepts were nice.
Okay.
The concepts were clever.
Let's see. What else we got here? Profanity-laden fortune cookies. A Sydney restaurant owner was told to censor her profanity-laced fortune cookies after a factory mix-up.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. They sell gag fortune cookies. They've been told to censor their products.
I think if you have the word fortune cookie and gag in the same sentence, it just sends the wrong message. I'm sorry. I had a colleague.
With these, you don't even have to add on, you know, in bed at the end of the little fortune.
So. I had a cookie today for Valentine's Day
at
my place of employment. There was a very nice person who works there, and she made a bunch of cookies for everybody. And she had little nice cookies, and then she put some pink frosting on them. Of course, they were in the shape of the, you know, traditional heart icon. And so I ate one of them, and oh my God, it was the most grotesquely sweet thing I've ever had in my entire life. I felt like this was the, like, the black hole of sweetness, like the concentrated, so intense that I could feel my insides being pulled into the collapsed. Yeah, exactly. By this frosting. It was just too much.
Someone spotted a rare jaguar, the holy grail of big cats.
Whoa. There he is.
In southern Arizona. So that's a nice picture of them. That I like a little, you know, ring cam or something there. So
I think our jaguar's claws are long enough. Yeah, you should let those grow a little bit. I don't know.
All right, time for us to declare. The weekend. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Happy St. Valentine's Day to everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be cold, cold, cold.
Cold?
You can snuggle up with your honey.
Yeah.
And if you don't have one of those, I'm sure a nice blanket will do. A hot water bottle.
A human-shaped pillow.
Yeah, human-shaped pillow. So that's what we recommend here on the Mel and Floyd Show.
Exactly. So, from experience. All right, it's 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM. Madison, Pants, great to see you. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stick around. The kiosk is next. And then Who Cooks For You with Real Jaguar. I like hot pants.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, February the 14th.
This is Bird Note.
If I can't help falling in love with you.
This is Cupid's busiest day of the year. You could say that love is in the air. And for some birds, you can take that literally. Love really is in the air. Consider the birds called white-throated swifts. White-throated swifts are sparrow-sized birds with short bodies and very long, slender wings. They nest in canyons throughout the West. When a pair of white-throated swifts wants to get to know each other better, they meet up on the wing high above the ground. The two birds then grasp one another and, clinging together, tumble downward, their bodies whirling in space. Still locked in this embrace, the swifts may plummet for over 500 feet until, just before striking the earth, they separate.